Radio, broadcasting by Far Speaker from the heart of the Empire.
So yeah, welcome to episode one of Skaven Black Radio. This is our first official episode. We kind of decided to call the last one episode zero as our test episode while we got sound and things sorted out. So ETC lists are out and ETC is coming up very soon, so we thought we're going to make this episode a bit of an ETC special. We're going to go over some Skaven lists, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what's in the lists, what people are taking, how things have changed a little bit from last year, and kind of go on from there. So first of all, we're just going to have a chat about what we've been up to. So what you've been up to hobby-wise or otherwise since the last time we recorded, Dan?
What, other than drooling over lizard men? I've recently sold Mount Rushmore, as my friend calls it. I had a lot of out-of-production miniatures, which I've been selling, which I've been hoarding to pay some bills. But now I'm just thinking, I'm going to spend it all on lizard men. Ha ha ha.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to add to my 9,000 point already Lizardmen army by getting even more lizards, most probably. I really just hope that the lizard monsters are not crap like the Warriors ones were, because they looked awesome, but then you looked at the stats and just like, yeah, the shit.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, I don't know whether it's fingers crossed or not. I don't know whether I want them to be good and so I'll see lots of dinosaurs, or whether I want them to be shit because I don't really like playing lizards. But yeah, I guess we'll see in, well, as we record this, 2 days and the book comes out.
Yep. Well, I think whatever happens, Cracked Call's always going to be awesome against lizards. So there's always going to be that. We've got an edge on them with the initiative test. So
yeah, I think that's right. Cracked Call and Doom Whales are always going to doom of whatever big slow dinosaurs you've got.
Yeah, that's a definite start. So yeah, I've been just having a couple more games practicing for the Outpost tournament. Can't really say much because Chris is listening. Just seeing what I can do, and I don't know. I've been changing my list because I didn't like the way it was composed last time. Some people just minced through some of my units. But saying that, I did come fourth, so I shouldn't really complain that much.
Yeah, it's not too bad. How many players were that out of?
18.
Oh, that's pretty good then. Can't argue with that.
It were bad, man. It were. I had some. I had a unit of Chaos Warriors get charged by Corsair with Frenzy Banner, and he cast Mind Razor on them.
Ouch. Yeah. Well, no, yeah. Warriors.
Actually, one survived, right? And I struck first, so he didn't break. He actually held. It was like, you've killed 12, I've killed 12. What we're going to do now? So I countercharged with Skullcrushers and won.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that was my third game. So what have you been up to, Chris?
Well, I've been up to, I haven't done that much hobby. I've done a bit of painting. I've very nearly got my trolls finished for my Orcs and Goblins. I've been tidying up and finishing off on a few characters. And I've had a couple of games. You're going to be very proud of me. I had a game against Dark Elves, and guess what I took? 2 Hellfits.
Yeah. Can you hear the disappointment in my voice?
I know. I know you're not a fan, but I picked one up on cheap in a big batch of eBay stuff, and I've never run 2 before. I'll probably never run 2 again, but it's got to be done just to try it. And they were a total disappointment, to be honest. One of them got
really?
Yeah, one of them got killed off, and then the other one kind of flailed around and didn't really achieve very much. So
serves you right if you can do bloody above.
I still won. They were great because, I mean, you've always got the, you know, the kind of movement control, and everyone's scared stiff of them. So it kind of made him bunch up in middle, and everything else ran him over. But yeah, may I help it? It's never really achieved very much.
You dirty, dirty boy.
I knew you'd disapprove.
Really? Right, anyway, yeah, you'd never get away with that ETC, because 2 outfits is black.
Nah, well, most comp will let you get away with that. That's fair enough, and I can't really blame them, to be honest. Yeah, so we were going to have a bit of a chat. So we kind of started this podcast as an idea on Under Empire Forums, which is probably the biggest, most active Skaven forum. So we were just going to have a bit of a talk about what we'd seen on the Under Empire in the last couple of weeks, and what we'd liked, if we've seen any interesting threads. So I think the one that jumped out at me was a thread by a guy called Torpid, and he kind of come up in a different thread, but he's made a super doom wheel, so he's working on a Chaos Dwarf army, and basically he's done a few of these different armies. He's done Dark Elves and Ogre Kingdoms, and he kind of takes one of the other armies and makes a Skaven version. So he's done Rat Ogre Kingdoms, he's done Dark Elves that are all Skaven models, his Harpies are little guys with little Skaven with jump packs, and some really cool conversions. And he's
Do you just want to tell them whereabouts on the forum it is? Because if they're not familiar with the Under Empire, they might not have an absolute clue.
That's a very good point. So he's got a there's a post up in the Skaven painting and hobby section that's entitled Super Doom Wheel, and then there's a the kind of it originally came up in the Battle Reports forum. There's a can't remember which tournament it's a report for, but it's from Captain Amros or Captain America, however the hell he wants it pronounced. He was doing Cap. He was doing a tournament report, and it kind of originally came up in there. And there's a link to his blog in there, and I've had a look at his blog. He's got some really good stuff in there. So I think that was kind of my pick of the forum for this last couple of weeks.
Awesome. Yeah, my pick's a bit bigger than that, because I keep saying people should promote the forum, but none of the staff on the forum actually want to do it. So, yeah, I'm moaning at you, Silas, for wailing on us last week. Yeah, if you go to the Under Empire forum into the hobby tunnel, there's a section called Skaven Painting and Hobby, and if you go in that, you will find a rather unique post by Shunia. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this right, but it's called Skaven Plight. It's got like 6 pages, and it's awesome. It's like little comic strips of how Skaven act in everyday life. So it just chuckles me to death just looking at the old ones. And number 10 is so me. With the crack addict Skaven coffee going, we will kill them all.
I haven't seen that one. I'm not quite up to date on them, but yeah, they are pretty funny.
Heretic. Get on the forum. You should have read all the topics.
I can't be expected to keep up with everything.
Hey, if I have a go at Silas for not reading stuff and listening to the podcast, I've got to have a go at you for not having seen the images that have already been up.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. I'll promise I'll try better for next time.
Yes, right. Also, in the hobby section, there's another one in the competitions run by Hannibal. And Hannibal is our resident insane rat, I'm going to call him. Because he's done a masterclass painting session where he's given people painting instructions on painting stuff. He's done like a 1-7 guide on how to paint Skaven. Just beyond freaking belief. I mean, I've got a couple of models painted by Hannibal, and to say that they are high quality is an understatement. And I know what time frame he did them in, so it just boggles me even more. It's like, I wish I could win the lottery just so I could paint all my models.
Yeah, his painting is amazing. I know he sold a big batch of Skaven stuff, and I was so bitter that I
didn't get his Skaven. You know, Hannibal, if you're listening, how dare you?
When we get rich from a Skaven podcasting, then maybe we can pay him to do some commissions for us all. I've had a look at his painting guide, and yeah, it is really good. It goes through absolute step by step, good undercoating techniques right up to, I think he's on highlights now, but I'm not sure that's his final. I think there might be one or two more to come.
Called Start to Finish, so I don't know whether that's just the entitlement of it or not, but it's lesson 7, bandages, stitches and metal. If we can get his permission, I'll archive all the things he did and put them up under our site when we actually get it live and running. It's all new and in progress, so it's you just have to watch this space, and I'm sure he won't disagree, because Hannibal's his top notch guy. He's quite funny. And yeah, that is the main things for stuff to check out on the forum. There's been a question in the tactics which I don't quite get, so I'm going to podcast it. Someone asked how to deal with the Banner of the World Dragon for Skaven, because it gives you 2+ ward versus anything slightly magical and everything else. And although this should be a big problem, I don't see why there's so much moaning going on about it, to be honest. The big thing with Skaven, and a lot of people have said when it's been posted on the topic, is just, grind him to death. Which we can do, because, your average elf costs 10 points, your average rat costs 4. You know, even if he kills twice as many blocks as he's got, it's still going to be a victory. But there are a few surefire ways to take out the unit with the Banner of Willow Dragon. A couple Chris mentioned earlier, since he said, I took a game with 2 of bombs. Because there's nothing magical about in a bomb unless you give it spikes. So if you don't give it spikes, you can run it into the Banner of the Willow Dragon and just go, I'm going to rip the shit out of you. Because they're just normal attacks.
I think it depends where what unit puts it on, though. I think if he's got it on some Silver Helms or some Dragon Knights.
Isn't the bomb strength 5?
Strength 6.
Strength 6, so that's going to knock 3 off their arm save.
Yeah, so, they do well. I mean, I think the, you know, if he's got it on a big unit of some of the double hand weapon guys and it's a big unit, you know, they can take in a bomb. It's not an absolutely surefire way of killing it.
But this is horses for courses, this, because if they're on the great weapon unit, in combat they've only got heavy armour, which is only a 1 in 3 save. So, yeah, just charge whatever in. Slaves will kill them. Clan rats will kill them. It's just going to take time, and they cost a hell of a lot more than you cost. You know, a white lion is 3 clan rats.
I think that's how it goes. I mean,
I
tend to, you know, I mean, what I tend to want to do with my Skaven is magic, shoot, explode, range death them until they've got, you know, half a dozen guys left, then go in and clear up. But with Banner at World Dragon, you can't do it that way because, you know, basically we don't. The only non-magical shooting we've got is gutter runners. Everything else that shoots is magical.
Yeah. Well, it all switches around, doesn't it? Your LP without spikes can do it. Your Doom Wielder's impact hits and grinds, so that can do it. Your go on. That weapons team that acts like a mini chariot, that can do
Doom
it. Can't remember the name right now. Doom Flayer. Your Plague Sensor Bearers have magical gas, but it is only a flail attack.
I think if you hit them with a flail, I think that's Swarm Stone as well.
Oh, is it? You might have to bear with me a second.
Yeah, ordinary plague monks would do it. I mean, there are ways, you know. We do have units that can take it. I mean,
flails on a plague priest will do it. I mean, the problem, it really comes down to which way they go. If it's lots of numbers, then it's going to be a unit which doesn't have a good arm save, in which case any unit can do it. If it is cavalry, then it has to be impact hits and such, and gutter runners, like you said, because enough shots and you'll just do it. But a one-up save is just hellish to get through, and there's always going to be that one game, isn't there, where someone just doesn't fail their arm save.
I think that's my fear with it. I'm not worried about it on infantry units. I can whittle it down in other ways. I can tie it up in combat with slaves. That's not a big issue. My worry is if it's on a big cavalry unit, it's going to be difficult to tie down. It's going to be tough to shoot out with gutter runners, and it is going to be really difficult to deal with.
Well, that is how you should take it, isn't it? Well, I've said
it's probably got half his army. You know, it's probably got 1,000 points in that unit by the time he's got his characters and stuff in there, and it's only one unit. Just keep out of its way, throw rat darts in its way, throw slaves in its way. Just don't fight it, would be my answer. If he really has got out on a stupidly tough cavalry unit, just don't fight it, kill the rest of his army.
Yeah, but that's your problem, though, isn't it? It's going to be his army, because it's going to be, and this is just a list I read, but it's going to be 450 points of Silver Helms, and then it's going to be 2 or 3 characters with great weapons, because they're initiative 6 or 7, so they're still going first anyway, so that's irrespective, with a 1-up save on Cav. And then there's going to be the level 4 wizard in there. For every spell they cast, they get a ward save. So, yeah, it soon starts to get pretty irritating. But if you can break it, you know, you don't have to kill them. You just have to make them lose combat.
Yeah, that's true. And we're probably almost certainly going to have more ranks than them.
Well, all you've got to do is use your rat darts to redirect it and then get a huge unit into the flank. I mean, I've said it before and I've said it again, but Storm Vermin with the armor-piercing banner, that's not magical attacks. That's -2 to your armor save.
Yeah, that's true. Death Friends, they don't give them magical attacks either.
That's hitting on 4s, more or less at the same time at initiative 5, wounding on 3s with strength 4, -2 to his save, so he's only got a 3-up save. If you had Death Friends in there, I'd say you're almost definitely going to start to start killing them big time. And that there's nothing magical about that. You do that and you ram a doom wheeler and a bomb into the side of the unit, and I'd say you're almost definitely going to break them. And
yeah,
then it doesn't,
I think you're
doesn't matter
right.
a damn. Because the banner, as soon as your unit breaks, your banner dies, because your banner bearer never runs away.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
No more banner of the world dragon. It's all over. So yeah, there's a lot of moaning about it, but I think if you actually do the numbers and think about it, a lot of people slag Storm Vermin off, but I think against High Elves, or Elves in general, the high initiative, the high weapon skill, the good strength, it all stacks pretty well. You just really need to get Death Frenzy to make the most. Or Death Frenzy and have the potion where you drink it and, well, you get what you want, you know, if you're lucky. Hatred
if you're lucky.
Or Death Frenzy, you know. Yeah, well, that's Skaven, isn't it? It's not reliable, it's just the way Skaven are.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I don't think it's the end of the world for Skaven. I think I can see why demon players don't like it, because they don't have any non-magical attacks, and I can see why it's an issue for them. But I think for Skaven, it's annoying, but it's a 50-point item. Obviously, if they've spent
50-point.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's no more annoying for us than our Storm Banner is for them when they want to shoot us to death. So we're going to get on to talking about ETC stuff.
Yay.
Yeah, so, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I don't know how many people play Warhammer and don't know what ETC is. It's a great big kind of Warhammer World Cup, as it's generally known. I think it stands for European Team Championships, but it's kind of way beyond Europe now. There's 32 teams, I think, this year. There's teams from States, from Canada, I think some from South America, loads from Europe. There's like an English team, a Scottish team, an Irish team. Hundreds
Welsh,
yeah. Don't want to miss anybody out. There's stats teams from all over the world. It's a kind of a really big event. They're all 8-player teams, so that makes it for one hell of an event. So it's like a team tournament. So instead of kind of tournament that most people are probably used to, you go, you know, it's you play one person, you kind of move up or down rankings. In ETC, kind of your team of 8 goes against another team of 8. Then there's a matchup system where you put a team up, you put an army up, they put up 2 armies against it, and you kind of pick which one you're playing. So you have a little bit more control over your matchups than you do in an ordinary tournament. I was just going to say something about scoring system as well, because I think it's quite important for how a lot of lists are built. Most people are familiar with the kind of not 20-0 tournament system, and it does use that system. But each round, your team is capped between 60 and 100 points. So even if all 8 of your guys get 20-0 wins, you're still capped at 100 points. Equally, if you all get wiped out 20-0, you still get 60 points. So it stops like any giant swings if you have a really bad game or a bit of bad luck or whatever. But kind of because of that, the way to you want to average 12.5 points a round. So everybody wants to play really, really safe, because you don't want to get a big loss and kind of let the rest of your team down. So I think that affects the builds and the lists quite a lot. Yeah, so we had a bit of a rundown of all the different Skaven lists and kind of pulled out a few numbers, and I've made like an average Skaven ETC list just to kind of give people some idea of what sort of list they run, basically. So I'll just kind of run down the comp and the restrictions fairly quickly. So there's not allowed any special characters. Oh, it's 2,400 points. No special characters. Up to 4 war machines or templates. They have a bit of a funny magic system. So you can only generate 2 power dice or 2 dispel dice. If you've got like a dispel scroll that automatically dispels, that counts as one of your dispel dice. Units count more than 40 models or 450 points. There's a few restrictions on magic. You can't use more than 5 power dice. Can't generate more than 2 power and dispel dice. That's more or less it. So the Skaven specific composition is clan slave units, rat swarms, and engineers, a maximum of 3. Small units of giant rats, maximum of 2. Gutter runners, 2 maximum 2 units, 20 models total. So it gets a bit complicated on some of the other stuff. Screaming Bell, Set and Grey Seer, Power Scroll, max 1 in total. So you can have a Seer on a Bell, you can have a Seer with a Power Scroll, or you can have 2 Seers. are basically your options. You can't, but you can't have a seer on a bell with a power scroll. Helpits are 0-1. Screaming Bell, Second Assassin, Doomwheel are 0-1. Warp Lightning Cans are 0-1, and you're on a max 3 in total for them. And your Doom Rocket, Brass Orb, and Storm Banner are max 2. So it's not a render Skaven comp, to be honest. I've seen quite a lot worse than that, but it kind of restricts all the nastiest of the combos. So I think I've already said people tend to take a safe list. So, you know, rather than going for a big win, smashy list, they do tend to go for a points denial style list and just try and win by a little bit of a win. So last year, in 2012, Skaven were the most popular army. So out of 33 teams, 27 took Skaven. You can only have one of each army per team. Other really popular ones were Dark Elves, Empire, Vampires, Demons, Dwarves, Ogres, and then kind of all other armies gradually tailing off. This year, Skaven are no longer at top. Warriors of Chaos top this year.
Warriors!
I think, obviously, nice and popular with New Book. A lot of people are thinking of them as New Filth. Empire are second. High Elves are third. So all the New Books, pretty much. Skaven are fourth. So there's 22 teams taking Skaven this year. So a bit of a drop from last year.
It's not really a reflection of filthiness per se, because like I say, they're limited to how many they can field per team. So I do think that Vampires and Empire particularly can bring a lot of pain, especially for Skaven. But Warriors, it's just an easy army to use now. It's low model count, which means less models to paint, less models to pack up. I've got to admit, since using my Warriors, it really knacks me the prospect of carrying my Skaven around to a tournament, because it's just so many models. Whereas my Warriors list is like 56 dudes, and you know, I came fourth at the last tournament, so it's like, well, yeah, I just don't need to be doing with all that. And you take it off, you put it back on, you take it off, you put it back on.
It's a lot of guys for a Warriors list. You know, if I did a Warriors list, there's no way I'd have 56 guys in it. I'd probably have 20 or 30 guys, maybe.
Yeah, but you've got to fit in the comp, remember? So you probably end up with a couple more than you'd think, you know. You could easily fit a big unit, 11 trolls in. I know you love your trolls. So that's probably your idea. Oh, I've done Orcs and Goblins. I can move from this onto a warrior list. Look at the trolls.
If it want no special characters, I would take Throg and all troll core, definitely.
Yeah.
But as it is, I probably won't take any actual warriors if I were taking a warriors army. Anyway, we're not here to talk about warriors. We're talking about Skaven. So let's try. I'll try not to get too try not to get too distracted with it. So yes, I had a bit of a rundown of the lists. It was 22 teams for generals. 21 of them have gone for a Grey Seer as general. Only one list went for a Warlord general. Which I thought were quite interesting. I think, I wouldn't take a list without a seer, but I can see a situation where I'd take a seer who wants to cast, throw a lot of dice at spells, and maybe take a warlord as my general, just in case he gets sucked away into the warp.
Yeah, that's just not the general consensus, I think, because I think a lot of people, they go for the bell within house leadership bubble, and as a result they don't want to lose the general, and he's already going to get cannon sniped and everything else. So I think they play it a bit too safe with the magic, whereas like you say, if it was me, I would probably go in a tournament scene for a seer and an assassin with a warlord, or double seer potentially, because I always say I should take Skitterleap, but when I roll the dice I never freaking default to it. So
I never take Skitterleap.
Yeah, but half the games, it's like, oh, I've lost because my seer just got cut down and I could have skate leaped away last turn.
Yeah, it's true.
that's every other game from you, my Skaven.
There is some aspect to that. But I mean, other thing to that is if they've got your seer cornered, they're going to charge him next turn and you say, I'll cast Skitter Leap. Do you really think they're going to let you have that? They're just going to dispel it.
There's ifs and buts on that count, ain't there? Yeah, they can try and dispel it. If you throw six dice, it can get two sixes.
Well, yeah, that's true. If you six dice it, I guess you've got a pretty good chance of forcing it through. So out of all those 21 seers, 13 of them are on a bell, so a bit more than half. Which is kind of less than I expected, actually. I thought would be. I thought most of them would be on a bell.
Yeah, well, it's like you say, isn't it? It's although the bell is a good option, it's not optimal because if you get like Law of Life and you take a level 4 and a level 2 strength test, or you're dead for entire unit, including bell. And as Healing Hammer just said on their last podcast, the Skaven guy said last turn it went to, he just rolled double six, take Seer off, take bell off, dead.
Yeah, that's true, but I mean, this is the thing with ETC, it's because you get some control over your matchups. You know, you can try and avoid, you know, so you get cannon sniped, you get dwellers, you do try and avoid matching your bell Skaven up against people who've got dwellers or cannons.
So, yeah, but that's the tactical side of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's there's going to be that moment where you might not actually have that option. So it is very down to the dice roll and who you brought with you. Because if you're Skaven and there's ogres, ogres are not going to want to be taking initiative tests for their entire army. And
I think, you know, matchups are always going to be dependent. But yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised not to see more bells. There were only one person two people took double seers, which is again, I'm not usually surprised there. I'm not convinced double seers kind of like a nice idea, but you've never got enough dice for two level fours.
The good thing with the double seers is you can have potentially two very strong magic phases, because you can have a good dice roll for one phase, and then on another phase you can just blow all your tokens and go screw it, I'm just going to go mental. And if your opponent's rolled really badly for channeling, then you've just got a really good opportunity to just batter him in one phase.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, in general, I agree completely. Two seers is overkill. It will not net you its points back unless you have the phase where all your spells are in range and your opponent rolls no thing, and you're like one spell. You know, like three power dice, and he's got one dice. Then you can really maximize on the potential of having two seers. But I've not seen it happen. I run magic heavy lists just to make sure I get the spells I want more than anything else. Because when you've got Skaven and you don't have what you need, and you're up against one plus armor seers, and if you can't get through their armor, that's it. So
yeah, I do think that's a definite advantage of a seer. Because I mean, if you take second one naked, he's not that many points. You know, if you take a warlock with a level two and a condenser, you know, kind of all the toys, he's about 150 points. It's only another 90 could be a great seer. So I can see the reason behind running two, but I can see why hardly anybody does, basically. Especially not under ATC, where you're limited to two extra dice, so you can't do that big Warpstone token phase.
Well, yeah, well, it is up and down point, isn't it? I mean, if you take two seers and they both take Skiffly, it's a little dirty, but when you're in that crunch moment and you want to get out of a bad situation, but you've not taken any wounds and you roll six dice and you get two sixes, you will put your seer right next to his best unit at the back. So that if you roll big template, it goes boom and takes out a good 5-10 enemies at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's a good use for it, actually. I hadn't really thought of that.
I'm Skaven, what did you expect? So there's plenty of I'm dying, I'm taking you with me. You know, and when it's not your primary seer, when it's your backup seer, that's just gravy, because yeah, I don't care if he gets sucked into warp as long as he takes you with him.
I think that is the thing that I've liked about when I have run two, is you can run one, he sits at the back, provides a leadership bubble, he's nice and conservative with spell casting, and you have one who runs to the front and fucking six dice is a wither, six dice is plague, you know, you're gonna die if I blow up, so what the hell.
Yeah, there's definitely a strong call for a three plague and a one ruin, and then if you don't like your ruin, just swap it to Skitter Leap, and then you can just do the bubble spells from plague and that at the back, and you can just jump wherever you want in between his war machines and do the tech d6 strength 5 hits no saves, which all right, you're not going to do many wounds to a war machine, but you'll upset him by doing it to a lot of units. It's I mean, I cast it against the Dark Elves when I played them last time. because he'd got his cold one night fighting slayers, and the slayers were dying in droves anyway. And it's on a 2+, it affects enemy units, doesn't it? And I rolled the dice and rolled a 1, so it didn't affect his cold ones, and I've never heard him scream like a sissy girl before. He was like, yes, my cold one's alive! And then I took like 4 Skaven off every unit that was in 12-inch. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm just glad my chuffing Doom Wheel wasn't in range.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been good. So what else did they have? They're part of, there's 18 people taking assassins, which I was really surprised by. I know the Bell Assassin combo has always been popular, but there's...
Actually, just to interrupt you here, I was going to say earlier and I completely forgot. An assassin with an additional arm weapon and a tail weapon and a portion of strength is an awesome way of getting through the Banner of the World Dragon.
That's a very good point.
Because your strength 7, rerolling failed to hits, 2s to wound, you'll just like take a rank off. There's no defense against that. Even his cavalry, strength 7, it's going to be minus 4, 5, 6. So minus 4 to his save. If you're in a unit with the piercing banner, minus 5 to his save. It's an excellent addition to your storm vermin to get through with that Banner of the World Dragon.
I think that's probably why they're in, actually. So there's 18 assassins, 17 of them have got a potion of strength and weeping blade.
Weeping blade wouldn't let it work, though, would it, with the Banner of the World Dragon?
It wouldn't let you have the extra attack. Yeah, well, that wouldn't work on the Banner of the World Dragon, but I can see, if they put a sort of Scarvet on a cold one in there with his one-up save, re-rolling, your strength 7 armor piercing, so what's that?
Well, you'd be strength 7 armor piercing, so that's minus 4.
Minus 5 on your armor save. So, and I can see it being Gregus Demigryphs. Absolutely, mince unit of Demigryphs. So I do think that's definitely one of the things that I'm going to be rethinking for my lists, is that assassin with his potion strength and weeping blades.
I've taken it a few times. In all honesty, if you want an optimal assassin, you want the Nurglitch banner. Hang on, while I put my teeth back in. The Nurglitch Blade. Plus 1 strength, every wound is another wound. Because the FAQ specifically says that if you roll a 1, you can re-roll it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. No, that's not Nurglitch Blade. That's the Blade of Corruption.
Yeah, I'm just looking at them now. You Blade of Corruption. So you're strength 5 all the time, and every wound is 2 wounds. In a unit with armor piercing, that's still minus 3. That's still pretty solid. And you've got 15 points, or you can put him with another assassin, which is what a lot of people do. The other assassin jumps out, just stands next to you and go, woohoo, reroll your ward saves because I've got Trickster Shard. You know, and you soon do things like that and you soon start chopping guys up.
So assassins, I think, I was going to talk about the changing meta. You can't see me doing my air quotes, but it's one of the things that people talk about, is the meta and how the meta changes kind of the overall game. You know, as with Empire with their demis and bloody Chaos with their Skull Crushers, there's all this monstrous cav, multi-wound,
one-up
armor save stuff. And I can see that it's really nice to have something in a Skaven list that can get a unit like that and go away.
The meta change is really in our favour, because we've got Blade of No Armour Saves, the Blade of Plus 1 Strength, 1 wound is 2 wounds, you can take Armour Piercing D3 wounds with a Potion of Strength. What else?
Oh, we've got a stack of Ignores Armour Save stuff. Poison Wing Globadiers, Ignore Armour.
Poison Wing Globadiers, Warp Lightning, just Warp Lightning on its own.
Catapults, Ignore Armour. We've got loads of stuff that ignores armour. I think, in that way, I think we win out really well against well-armoured stuff. I think where we lose out is infantry are not so good as they used to be. There's so much monstrous stuff with a crazy amount of attacks and then all their stomps. And you used to be able to take 40 slaves and hold up anything. And now you put them in front of some of these, being a big unit of Mournfang, you'd be lucky to hold them up for one turn, never mind two turns.
Yeah, I think...
I think it's changed both ways for us. I think some things have got better, some things have got worse. But I think we're still... You still can't say Skaven are not a good army, so I'm not going to bitch.
I think that is why, as you'll probably see from your number crunching on the list, that Rat Swarms have become ever more popular. Because once they get through your slaves, you can have Rat Swarms sat there, and the Rat Swarms don't care, they don't panic, they don't break, you know, they just crumble. So you've got that extra reassurity that once your slaves are gone, they're not just going to run straight through into your general's unit. You've got that moment to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good point. There's no, I think, you know, your rat darts are great for that, but then, you know, you've got to worry about your panic and, yeah, you know, none of that if you've got swarms.
So well, that is definitely why they're taking it the ETC, I can tell you that for now. I mean, what's your list say? There's 13 people took rat swarms.
Yeah.
Because you can just run, then you can run your slaves forward happily, knowing that when your slaves go,
yeah,
there's going to be
cover.
Another game turn before they throw your swarms. And then that gives you even more time for your general to go, let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, definitely. So what else did they have? There were stacks of warlocks, 57 warlocks. Most of them are wizards of one description or another. 12 doom rockets and 11 brass orbs. Every list that I looked at has got 3 units of slaves in. And all but one of those had units of between 35 and 40. There's only one guy who's gone for 3 units of 20. But I think it's definitely no surprise there. That's the first thing that ever goes in my list is three big units of slaves.
Yeah, the new comp is like 25 to 30, 40 models. Some people have just done it now so that you just go, right, you can have 100 slaves max. Which I like better than saying you can have units of 25 or whatever, because 25 ain't going to do nothing. You might as well not bother. It's just a complete waste of your time.
It depends what you use them for. You can't use them for the same thing you could use your big units for, tying them up. 25, 20, 25.
Yeah,
still got good leadership in your bubble. It's still a good redirector. You'll still run over like a unit of archers or something. You know, they're not by any means great in combat, but if you throw them into a little, you know, little chaff units, they do all right.
Yeah, but so do giant rats. This is my ever coming point. If you have 20 giant rats and 2 or 3 packmasters, you've got a hell of a lot of attacks. You can flee from a charge and be as useful as the slaves are.
It's nearly double the points you pay for the slaves, though.
Not really, because the giant rats are 3 points model. You don't have to have 90 packmasters. That's optional.
Well, yeah, even 2 or 3, though, some bumps you up 70, 80, 90 points.
Yeah, but they do output more than 10 attacks at the end of the,
yeah,
the thing
is
as
true.
Well. So it's give and take, isn't it? And they do rally if you put a Master Molder in there, which you can do with even 10 of them. You're going to rally on a 6 rather than 2 or 3 with a musician. So, yeah, with the slave hammer, I was just more inclined to take giant rats rather than slaves. But now that they're going, you can have 100 max. I like that. I like the idea of 2 blocks of 50 rather than lots of tiny blocks that do nothing.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't think, I mean, the least I've seen them restricted to is 35, and I think they're getting a bit, I don't think they're great at 35. I'd still rather have 40.
At 35,
yeah,
you've
if you're gonna take
you've
them
be
down.
Really careful. Or you've got to really pound whatever charges into them.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to. So it's dicey stuff.
Yeah, what else did we get? There were 16 units of Storm Vermin. Nearly all of them carrying a Storm Banner.
Boo!
if you're taking a Bell, you've got to take a Storm Banner. It's crazy not to.
Under certain circumstances, yeah, you want a Storm Banner. But for me, I think the Storm Banner's better on the Battle Standard, because a lot of people target the Battle Standard for what he can do. Yeah? If his banner has run out and it's no longer in effect, he's only a reroll. He's not that high a priority anymore.
Yeah, true. It kind of varies from situation to situation. I mean, the nice thing about having it on the Storm Vermin is you can't end the storm by killing the Standard Bearer.
Yeah, yeah. But saying that, if you add armor piercing on the Storm Vermin, you can chop up white lines with that stupid standard. You know?
Yeah, this is true.
If there's Storm Vermin with that banner, and you've got a Bell, you've got impact hits, which it can't save against at strength 6, Then you've got armor piercing storm vermin, strength 5. If you roll that every single storm vermin can attack, you've got 35 storm vermin going hell for leather to kill these eye elves. You know. Alright, we're talking ideal situations, but it does happen. You can roll it. It's not against the odds. So it's quite solid, really, when you put it that way. I mean, people target the storm banner because they want it to end. And in two or three turns, it, you know, I say it should have ended. Whenever I take it, it never bloody ends. So that's why I don't take it anymore.
Oh, I never have that problem. See, I always get one turn out of it, and then it stops, and I never. That's it.
I had 4 games with 12 turns, so all my 6 and all his 6 didn't end. And it's just like,
I've got like pretty long odds of that, bloody hell.
It's 4 up, isn't it? It's 4 up every time. So theoretically, it's only 50-50 every time.
Well, it's 50-50 every time, but
the odds of rolling 12 4 ups for the Storm Banner is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's getting on for being pretty long odds.
You know, and I always just like, I've got 2 cannons on the table and I can't fire them at anything. Because I never passed 4 up when it went to firing shooting phase, did I? I never managed that bit. So, I knocked me off to death, so I was just like, you know what, I'm never taking it again. I'd rather have leadership banner on them, so that, you know, plus 1 leadership, solid leadership 8.
I think leadership banner's pretty good as well. So what else? There were 35 units of gutter runners altogether, so just about every list had 2 units of gutter runners in, which I think probably makes a lot of sense. They're always a nice do-a-bit-of-everything unit. There were 19 Hellpits and 19 Cannons and 8 Doomwheels, which I was kind of surprised by so few Doomwheels, because I think Doomwheels are great. But I think it came down to the comp were a bit weird, that if you took Bells, you couldn't have Doomwheels. And so I think it's the comp that's done for the Doomwheels more than anything else.
The comp is definitely, you can have 1 or 2 things specifically and nothing else. So it was Cannon or Doomwheel, basically.
Yeah, and I think probably most people go for a cannon. I can't say I really blame them.
You know, you can fire your cannon on turn 1 and potentially take out 20 dudes. So you're not going to take a cannon. And the Hellpit, you know, like I said before, if you don't put spikes on it, you can take out the banner of the World Dragon. D6 impact hits, 3d6 attacks. If you roll it, it's half a unit gun, potentially. Alright, you might lose your Hellpit in the process, but if you kill, you know, 2 dozen elves, what difference does it make? They deserve to die, dirty elves.
Yeah, no, I'm not an elf fan. So, yeah, so that's kind of all the number crunching that I did on lists, and I kind of went through and I made an average ETC list. So I thought I'd put that in just to see kind of what the... You know, if you took a bog standard, what should I take as an ETC list? Well, this is what everyone's taking at ETC this year. So I've got a Grey Seer, Honorbell with some Scarm. Chieftain, Battle Standard Bearer with a Banner of Eternal Flame. Not quite sure why that one was so popular. With plenty of trolls and stuff about at the moment, I guess.
It's for the Crypt Horrors. The Crypt Horrors are just horrendous.
Yeah,
take a great big massive unit of like 11 and then they go... Oh, you killed one. Regen.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a useful banner. So I've got an Assassin with my Weeping Blade Potion Strength. A level 2 Warlock Engineer with a Condenser. Level 1 Warlock Engineer with a Scroll. A Warlock Engineer with a Doom Rocket. 38 Storm Vermin with a Storm Banner. 3 units of Skaven Slaves. They're all a bit under... they're all naked, no shields, and they're all a bit under 40 because I want to keep my card bang on 600 points. That seems to be the dumb thing.
Oh, here we go. Game of Thrones style.
Yeah. Well, it's an ETC list. As far as I understand it, everybody who goes to ETC is a win at all cost. You know, gotta win the game.
Yeah, but slaves, you can fire magic into the combat. You can't get much juicier than that, really.
No, they're nice, but that's kind of most of the list. There weren't that many who had 3 full units of 40. So I've got 2 units of 7 gutter runners, a warp lightning cannon, your favourite, Hellpit, One giant rat dart and one unit of rat swarms. And I think that left me with about 150, 160 points that you could kind of spend on some of the toys that we've talked about or had to think about.
You definitely want six bases of rat swarms, three units of two, just as a buffer from your slaves going.
Yeah, I think, I mean, some of the lists have got that in. Like I say, I mean, this is kind of what the majority of Skaven lists have got. And then, like I said, there's 150, 200 points for a bit of extra customization. So you want two more rat swarms, that's another 100 points, and then you've got, you know, a few points left. Maybe you make your second engineer a level two or something. Probably throw a few more toys on your Grey Seer. Yeah, I just thought it was quite interesting to have a look and see how much of a bog standard list there is. And basically, there is one very much bog standard list with a few different little few variations, but very much one that everybody likes. So did you have a chance to have a look through the list? Did you have like a favourite list out of the ones that people had taken?
Ooh, a favourite list. That's a good question, isn't it? If you give me a second.
I'll tell you what, while you're having a look through, I'll kind of mention one I picked up. I picked this one basically because it's absolutely as far as I can get from that list. It's Craig Johnson's list. I'm not quite sure what team he's on. But he's got a Warlord with a Fellblade. A Warlord on a War Litter with a few toys. He's got a Warlord as his general. Talisman of Preservation, Ruby Ring of Ruin, Sword of Might. So no Seer. He's got three Chieftain, one BSB, one with another Trickster Shard, and one just with a Halberd. Three Engineers, one with a Doom Rocket, one with a Lodestone, and one level two with a Scroll. The Assassin that everybody's got. He's got two units of Storm Vermin, one big unit of 40, one unit of 29. Three units of 21 Slaves. Two Rat Swarms, two units of Gutter Runners, a Lightning Cannon and a Doom Wheel. Yeah, I just liked it because it's not the standard list. I think I've been thinking myself about running a three Warlord list. I think the Fell Blade's got a lot of potential at the moment for, again, like I say, this one-up armor that we keep talking about. And I do think level four is really nice, but I don't think everybody says you've got to have a level four or you're not competitive in Magic. And basically, I don't think that's true. I don't think you're as competitive, but I still think you can do pretty well, you know, even with just a level two and a scroll.
I think that's something unique to us. I think our troops are that cheap that you cannot have level four and you can get away with it because warriors can only have 40, 50 dudes. You know, if they've got no level four, then, you know, they're just going to get magic to death.
Yeah, this is true. If you've got a spell that takes 20 guys out and you cast it on a Skaven army, they say, why did you waste your dice?
yeah. Whereas Skaven, you know, you've got like 150, 200 dudes and you can just go, yeah, whatever, I don't care about that spell. I'm saving it for your big daddy. So, yeah, for the Skaven list, there's one here that I quite like the look of. You've got a Slurpy Tan. We took a Grey Seer, level 4, Plague Ruin, Power Scroll, Foul Pendant. I like that. It's got a Suicide Warlord with a Shield and a Fell Blade. It's good for choppy. But then for his BSB, he's gone for the Standard Discipline. Then he's got another Chieftain for the Halberd and a Obsidian Lordstone. Just to make sure that unit doesn't get magic to death. And then
if he's got it in his Say unit, gives him a tilt ward against his magic as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's got a level 2, a level 1, and level 0 Warlock. One with a Dispel Scroll, one with a Doom Rocket. So you've got your nice little redirector there. He's got an Assassin with a Weaving Blade and Potion of Strength, so he can put strength where he needs it. With all those ruin spells, he's got to have Skid Leap, so, you know, he can put characters where and when he needs them. He's got 40 Storm Banner. Yeah, 40 Storm Vermin with the Storm Banner. And then he's got three units of 38 Slaves. He's not got shields, because clearly he's a retard. But, you know.
it's all about keeping your core, because so much of his good stuff's in characters, special and rare, there's very much a thing of keep your core to bang on 600 points, and I think that's why a lot of people are not running Slaves.
Good, Good core is awesome. You know, when your slaves last forever, it really knocks people off. He's got two darts, he's got two units of gutter runners, and he's got a water lightning cannon, he's got to help it with sparks, and he's got a doom wheel. So, you know, he's got a wide range of toys, he's got a wide spectrum, he's got the power to move characters where he needs them, he's got the doom rocket to take chunks out of units, and he's got the cannon. So, to me, that is a fairly solid balance list, and then if anything super screamy comes in with low initiative, he's got the fell blade to just go and take your head off.
Yeah, I think I like that one actually. I think that's probably one of my favourite ones. I mean, say I generally run Seer on a Bell, Furnace, Help It, Cannon, pretty much a bog standard, same as everybody else runs. But I do like that. I like the fell blade Warlord. I think he's definitely a good choice, and you can't get a Warlord in if you take a Bell, so I think it's probably worth. 18 inch leadership bubble's nice, but I can see the sense in leaving it and having a suicide felt like guy.
Yeah, well, my general rule of thumb is just take two of the duplicates, so you know, two units of 40 or 50 slaves, two units of clan rats, because else you're just under a massive pressure to try and get everything into the leadership bubble. You can diversify into enough different units that you don't have to worry about that. I mean, I've often taken huge units of giant rats, like 40 giant rats, with a master molder in, because the master molder is base leadership 6, so he's 9 on his own. So you don't really have to worry about sticking him in there next to your general. So it's just little things like that that help make it less clunked up. And you know, when your entire army is bunched together in a deployment area, catapults and things like that, just it makes it so much easier for them.
Thanks for listening again, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any feedback or comments for us, we're on Twitter at Skaven Blight Rad. We're on Facebook if you search Skaven Blight Radio, or we're on the Under Empire forums. It's underempire.net, and we'll probably be in the general Skaven discussion. We'll have a thread up in there that should be fairly easy for you to find. Yeah, so it's goodbye from Chris, and maybe Dan wants to say goodbye too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we forgot to ask if anyone has any non-copyright images, glyphs, pictures, anything Skaven you've done. We're probably going to be doing his own site soon, so if you could get in contact. We need some copyright free stuff to put on, because I don't see the point in doing it otherwise, really. If we're going to do it, we might as well make it look funky and Skaven-y. So, yeah, if you get in contact. Thanks for listening. Thank you to 25 people that had already downloaded the last podcast. If you've not listened to it before, it'll still be up. We'll probably put a link on under this one, just for those people who missed it already. All right, thank you very much.